of God. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, would you? Praise the Lord. All over the room. Hallelujah. I got a kick out of several years back. Somebody said that we were a cult. And one of the reasons we were a cult is that they make you raise your hands here. So this morning, I want to go ahead and be a cult, and I want to make you raise your... And so say, isn't it great? You know, this is illegal in Cuba. And it's not illegal here. Medical science says those that lift their hands on a regular basis are healthier. I don't even understand why that is, except there's a God connection. Another one is Scripture. That's the most important one. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord in your own way. Quietly or out loud. I hope it's out loud. I'm going to be out loud. Let's bless the Lord this morning with uplifted hands. Father, we right here with the Apostle Paul lift up holy hands without doubting and wrath and thank you today. You are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. In me, for me, and through me. Can you say that today? In me, for me, and through me. In Jesus' name. How we love you today. Go ahead and worship him a little bit, would you? Lord, we thank you. You are our provider. The provider of every need, spirit, soul, and body. You are our peace this morning. You are our strength, our life, the light of all that we do. And we honor you today and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to encourage you today, when we dismiss, however we dismiss, do not be in a rush to leave. Let's be the friendliest church in town. Find somebody you don't know. If you have time, I hope you have time. And greet one another and bless one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you would, this morning. And while you're going to Romans chapter 8, I've got to read something that Tommy Reed sent me this week. We've been laughing. I read it to the music team this morning. And I'm going to change it up just a little bit for the sake of... But he says, I got this text from Tom, leave out part of it. He says, evening, I guess you get a lot of texts, but I thought you guys might enjoy something fun. He said, tomorrow, that would be today, is Grace, their little girl. How old is Grace now? Today. Five today. Five, yes, it was yesterday, okay. That's right, it was Friday evening. That's right. Tomorrow is Grace's birthday, so she turned five yesterday. So Angie and Grace are baking a cake, and Grace was stirring the sugar, butter, and chocolate. Grace, all you ladies will identify with this. Grace leans over, smells the concoction, and then she throws her arms up and yells, "It smells like the joy of the Lord." And Tom said, "How right she is." I thought that was pretty awesome. How many are glad for the joy of the Lord this morning? That's about 10 of you. How many are glad for the joy of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Glad the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Romans chapter 8. For those of you that have not been here with us, we've been talking for quite some time. Actually, it's a theme of our church. Somewhere, the church and leaders in the church have to have the guts to stand up and say that once you are born again and have put your faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside, we no longer relate to God, or better yet, for those of us who know him now, Father, through the law, but we now have a living relationship with him by and in the Spirit, which is the new law in the heart of the believer. Not an easy subject to share, not an easy subject to teach. There's a whole lot of resistance, a whole lot of yeah, buts. But the thing is that how many know Scripture must have the last word? And so we're going to be going over that. In that, I have not forgotten our theme. We've had some Holy Ghost interruptions, and they are not interruptions. That's the only term I can think of, like we had the other day, Sally. We had Ty, help me, Hefner that was here. Wells, is Julia here? Is she in the nurse? Okay. His wife is here today, preached back several weeks ago, and what a powerful blessing that was. We had the Massons here, and then I was gone this last week. Chad, thank you again so much for your ministry there, and looking forward to some more. Amen. Unveiling. The whole message is about unveiling Jesus. How many know the more we see him, the clearer we see him, the more successful our way in God becomes. Can you say amen? So for those of you that have not been here, in that process, we've been looking at, and it's been broken up quite a bit, and I want to try to bring us back there today, at the place of obedience in this new covenant of grace. How many know that it is no longer adherence to a cold, hard, written law in stone, but now as being sons, as sons and daughters of God, made alive unto God, the Bible says that his Spirit is now within us and he leads and guides us into all truth. How many know that means generally in reference to the Word of God, his will for us in the Word of God? And the more we grow and the more we learn to listen, it can mean very, very specifically. It takes time for a young one to know what is the voice of the Holy Spirit? It takes time to grow and to learn. But let me tell you something. He's talking, and the Bible promises this. They that are the sons of God, they know and follow the Spirit of God. I mean, the Spirit of God, his main purpose. Jesus said that he was going to send. Some of you may remember this from a few weeks back if you were here. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's main purpose would be to reveal him. Jesus, whose job was, he came to reveal the Father. So much of religion acknowledges Jesus as a great man, a great prophet, a holy man. This is where it gets dangerous, the making of cults, a son of God. He is the son of God. They reduce him to a son of God. This is the making, this is where it gets kind of sketchy. We have to be careful that we understand and that we're clear on our terms. And you know what? I got so into that, I lost my train of thought. I got to do this at least once. Or where was I at? Help me. Let me go back and I'll pick it back up. Let me go back to where I was at, because I'm trying to catch everybody up. Yes, there you go. There you go. Thank you. The Holy Spirit, then, his main job is to reveal. Chad's message, no longer an invisible God. Paul stating in 2 Corinthians 3, towards the end of that chapter, says, with frustration, and he repeats it twice, those who continue to preach the law of Moses keep Christ veiled, closed off, darkened to the hearers. The same man said, am I saying that the law is unholy? God forbid. How many know and are thankful for the law of God today? How many know that the law of God brought us to a place of repentance? But I'm so glad, and boy, I will hammer that. You think I've hammered it so far and I hammer on it too much? I mean, hang around. We're going to continue to hammer it, because I need us to see together by the revelation of the Spirit that this new, it's easy for us to trust in laws, rules, and formula. It amazes me. I turn on the TV and I watch a lot of what is church now, and there's nothing wrong with 1, 2, 3 ABC, but everything right now in the business world, everywhere around us, is just give me the rules. Give me the bottom line. Well, that's okay in business. We got to start somewhere. We need organization. We need step one, step two. How many know even the gospel has that? Step one is you got to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe step one was to hear the gospel, receive the faith to be able to respond to a message that we've heard. But we're so surrounded with rules, and it's natural for us to want to gain our security from a system of rules. Right there is the Achilles heel of all that is Christendom. Because in our life, how many know there are certain rules you better follow in business or you're probably not going to be successful? I mean, on your job, he is hiring you. That man, that woman has hired you to do a particular job. You're not there to preach. You're there, not there to talk. I couldn't believe it. The other day I was at a local auto parts store. The place was absolutely full, lined up, people frustrated. There's one guy at the counter, several guys running parts, and there is a new person there, I'm trying to be very careful here and generous, a new person there, very young, who is on the phone in a personal conversation over behind the main register, brand new, while we are standing there, all of us in line. I wanted to go over and choke her. How many know that's not being led of the Spirit? But it was an absolute mess. Do you know that when a believer is taking up business time that he's being paid for to preach, he's doing the same thing? We're not there to preach. We're not there to share. Do that on your break. Do that in lunchtime. Make an arrangement after work. Are you here? You know what I'm talking about? Well, there's a time to do that, and there's a time. But we're surrounded. That is a good rule. How many know good work ethic is necessary? People with good work ethic succeed. But here's the deal. If we begin to approach our relationship with God in that manner, how many know that when it comes to relationships, rules will begin to break things down? How many have set rules for your kids at home? How many know that when they're little, until they understand love and relationship, they need some rules? But there comes a time as they grow. For example, when my Rebecca was just a little teeny thing, how many enjoyed Rebecca's song last week? I think she ought to do that more. When my Rebecca was just a little teeny thing, her fascination with mama cooking was awesome and dangerous, depending on who was watching what was going on. I know a lady who reached up and grabbed a hot oil pan off a stove in Puerto Rico. Beautiful woman. And her whole arm, all the way down her hand, almost clear up her shoulder, just a few years of age, reached up, pulled hot grease. They thought they were going to have to get rid of part of her hand. They ended up saving her fingers, mostly functional, this whole part of her arm, because somebody wasn't paying attention or somebody didn't learn how to do a little pow-pow. That's politically incorrect nowadays, but I could care less about PC. If you don't know that, you'll find that out pretty quick around here. But there's a time for a paint stick. Don't look at me like that. There is. The Bible says you spoil the rod, spare the rod, you spoil the child. The Bible also says that the rod drives foolishness far from a child. Now, I'm not advocating abuse. I'm not advocating beating on kids. There's way too much of that. I've got it. But how many of you know that loving, measured discipline with relationship and direction will save a child's life? Little Rebecca, she wanted to reach up there. She had a fascination with mama on that stove, and she wanted to reach up and grab that pan. And I had Edie's cologne on my mind the first time I saw that. And a loving father who knew that there was no way she could yet connect the dots. This is where pop psychology has gone haywire. Because we've been taught to reason with our kids at 5 years of age. They're not to be reasoned with. They are to be disciplined and trained until love and relationship can catch up. And love will not let a child hurt themselves. You with me? And so, Rebecca, who I love very much, when I saw that, I saw Edie's cologne. Beautiful Puerto Rican woman, pushing 40 years of age, with a withered arm all the way up. And love jumped towards her and said, "Honey, no." She looked at me and turned away. I watched the next time mama's on the stove. That's something that is in man. It's been there since the garden. God told Adam and Eve, "You may eat freely of all." Freely. You notice when Eve was in a conversation with the devil, Satan tweaks the truth. It is mentioned that they may eat of all. He just does it in little teeny tweaks. That's not what God said at all. He says they may eat freely of all. Freely. Can you say freely? It's always in God's name, free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freely of all that is in the garden, except for this one. This one, something about human nature wants to reach across in rebellion and touch the forbidden. How many have seen it in a little two-year-old? I watched my kids, more than one of them, 2 years of age. Boy, my mother-in-law, she did not like me at that time. She loved me, but she didn't like the way I was taking care of my kids. They'd reach their little hand out. It amazed me the way a little two-year-old can set their jaw with an adult, how many times bigger than they are, knowing they're going to get corrected. What is that? I saw her easing over towards that thing, and I see Edie's cologne, and love says no. This time, it hurt. The next time, it hurt. And then the next time, all I had to do was say, Rebecca, something begins to change in the relationship. The next time, no, honey. There's a giving. There isn't a next time because she's learned that's just, I don't belong there. And relationship, by the time they're 15 and they've heard a few stories, headed with my son Luke back to Liberty University, I must confess, driving well over the speed limit. 3 days from here to Virginia, while we're talking about this subject. But anyway, heading back, a lot of time for conversation, and to listen to my 22-year-old boy say, Dad, thank you. There were times when I didn't understand why you seemed rough. Choke up and say, Dad, I understand now. It's saving my life. I see things now because of relationship and love. He's getting ready to be married in the 2nd of November. His whole life is opening up right now. He's halfway through his BA at Liberty Online, is now going to be working on the campus. Beautiful. But now, relationship and love is caught up, and he's on his own journey. It's no longer about what Dad can do to correct. He now is walking and flowing now in an understanding of relationship. And the time will come when he'll have to, maybe his little Rebecca, whatever her name will be. But it won't be out of frustration or fear. It'll be out of a confidence that I can trust what God said is true. Trust that when he says, raise up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. I can trust those things. I love the law. I love what David says about loving the law. Because when there was a disconnect, when man was separated from God, Paul describes it this way in Romans 5. He says, death reigned by one. Adam's sin separated man, caused death, sin and death to come into the world. Aren't you glad for the second Adam? That was God's plan, his design. Remember, it was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's powerful stuff. It's so important, though, that as we who have put our faith in Jesus must understand, though the world around us functions by rules, Paul even said that the lawless need the law. He said it this way. The law is for the lawless. That is firstly a spiritual truth. Lawless meaning those who do not adhere or love the law of God. Those in today's day and age under the new covenant, that means those who are not born again. They're referred to by Paul as lawless. In society, we know that this nation, which was based on the Big Ten, is different than any other nation ever in history. And as the Big Ten is being eroded, so is this nation right now. We need to pray for her and lift her up. I don't care what your political bent is. If you're getting ready to vote for people who are involved in putting judges in courthouses in America, who stand, don't do that. I have every right and responsibility to speak the truth of the Word of God. We should be beyond that by now. If we are voting for people who promote the killing of babies in the womb, and now, I'm getting there, and now, little by little, doing that. Listen, if you've been here this morning and that sort of thing is in your life, I want you to know Jesus loves you. He forgives to the uttermost. We're not insensitive to that at all. We have people in here that have been there. We have people that were almost the victim of that. And we thank God that today God loves everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. His grace is sufficient. His blood goes deeper than the deepest stain. There's absolutely no judgment. We're not talking about individuals and the love of God to save and lift and heal and redeem and forgive and to give you a whole new life. But we're talking about, are you here today? We're talking about a government system. We need to be very careful. I think most of them are messed up. And many times it's picking, you know, one of the better of two evils. Whatever. I don't want to get into it. What I'm saying is, as the people of God, we need to realize the time that we live in, and I don't know how I got off into this, but I'll just stay here a minute and be led of the Spirit, which is backed by the Word of God. When we are voting for people who are pushing hard for transgender, homosexuality. How many know God loves a homosexual, but He still hates homosexuality because it is destructive? God condemned it, not the homosexual. It says that He did not condemn the world, but He loved the world and gave Himself so that the world through Him would be saved. But He still hates the sin, because of what it does to His precious and prized creation. The more that we as a people and as a nation begin to drift away from the Big Ten, the more trouble we get in. It concerns me when I hear, man, I wish I had a national megaphone right now. It concerns me when I hear preachers of grace saying that the Ten Commandments need to be taken down in our courthouse and in our schools. It troubles me about where the so-called grace revolution is going. I'm thankful today for the precious, holy, eternal law of God. I didn't get a very big amen on that. I said, I am thankful for the precious, holy, and eternal law of God, the center of all that is pure and righteous. I'm also thankful that when I put my faith in Jesus, when the law brought me to a point where I knew this wasn't working anymore, no matter how hard I tried to be good, no matter how hard I tried to do what was right, no matter how hard I tried to be righteous, no matter how hard I tried to do things in my own power, it seems like the more I went after something, the more I failed. You know the sad part about that is that most of Christendom is still there. We're still living the new covenant under old covenant system. You're still trying to follow the Spirit so that you can obey the law. Let me tell you something. If you will trust Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, find out who he is, your life will be patterned more after the law by accident than you ever were on purpose. Once again, let me be extremely redundant. Right believing is what produces right living. Not right living produces right believing. Religion wants to get your behavior modified so you can qualify. I'm so glad that I've figured out that there is no way in and of myself and in my own power that I will ever qualify. I'll never measure up. I'll never rise to the standard of my righteous, wonderful, holy, precious Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen? I'll never measure up. That's why I needed him. That's why I needed him in me, and me in him, by faith. We're glad for Jesus today. Everything that I'm saying right now is inseparable from healing. Everything I just said that we're woo about salvation, about my righteousness. Do you know that the Word of God does not make the distinction that a lot of people do? And it's a ploy of the enemy to make healing harder than salvation, to make provision harder, to make it separate. It's a separate area of faith. Let me tell you something. With salvation came everything. I'm glad for Jesus today. So we're surrounded by rules, laws, formulas. Many of them necessary. Most of them necessary. But let me tell you something. Husbands, you start living your relationship with your wife by rules, you will destroy your marriage. You lead with love. For something's different. The marriage is a not so perfect, because we're human, but still is a God-recognized earthly picture of God's work in the earth through the church, his bride. Paul, writing in Ephesians, being led by the Spirit of God, says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ love the church. I want to ask you, everybody, how did and how does he love you now? Based on your performance? Based on what you know or don't know? Based on your past? Based on your abilities? How does he love you? If you're uncomfortable right now, I'm glad. How does he love you? I read in the Word somewhere that love conquers all. Starts with you, Bubba. I pointed right at poor Bob. Wasn't intentional. Are you a rule keeper? Some people that were raised in rules do okay, but they struggle all their life. And they certainly struggle when they come into a relationship with God. At some point, your kids need rules, but at some point there's going to come a time where love and relationship and understanding are now not only necessary, they're appropriate. Or excuse me, I said that backwards. They're not only appropriate, they're necessary. There's a graduation. My boys will tell me now, Dad, you don't know, as preacher's sons, how many times we were at the point of embarrassing you and Mama But it wasn't your discipline. The discipline led us to the place that helped us. It wasn't your discipline. We're thankful for that. But the fact that you trusted me, kept me from going crazy. There came a place where we had to begin to lend some trust. So let me go back to Ephesians. Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's great preaching right there. We don't even need to go any further this morning. That would probably cause a revival right there. Wives, here's what modern society chokes on. Obey your husbands. This isn't the modern day. Listen, it's King James. It's written in 1600. Here's what he's not saying that the wife becomes a child and a subservient slave to a. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a love relationship in which he has put the responsibility squarely on the man to lead in love. That's step number one. And then the wife yields. It's not obey me. Do what I say or else. I mean, no, that doesn't work. But there is as they both are looking to the Lord for direction. All of you guys in here know that your wife is right most of the time anyway. You know, I'm serious. They're more intuitive. They're more sensitive. They see things we don't. And a wise husband who is leading in love will humble himself and listen to what they have to say. That's why we need one another. But somebody who's a little less emotionally connected needs to take the brunt of the storm and keep things going in a general direction. It's God's design to protect that which is tender, precious, and intuitive, that is the bulk of a healthy home, the woman. So he says to the woman, yield. How many know that God's design works better whether we like it or not? If you're without a spouse this morning, know that the precious Spirit of God is the love of your life, who leads you, guides you, directs you, comforts, and strengthens. That's why it's important to be in a body, because many times we can get ourselves so back in a tunnel of emotion that we can't see the light for the dark that seems to be enveloping us. And it takes a local body, it takes brothers and sisters that tangibly will love us and touch us. How you doing, sister? You seem a little down. What can I do? If we're so into our grace bubble bath that we can't even see the hurting around us within our body, how are we going to reach a world that is desperately hurting all around us? I don't know about you, but I'm preaching good already. Okay, so here is why it is important. We must, at some point, have I made it clear that we love the law of God? But now that I have come into relationship with Jesus, this is why we spent so much time in the book of Galatians. Paul was fired up and angry because he knew the danger of re-implementing the law in a new covenant system would take people right back under the curse. A curse in your marriage, a curse in your body, in your emotions, fighting depression, fighting everything that the world has to offer. How many are glad for a new and a living way? Three of you are glad for that. How many are glad for a new and a living way in Jesus? Now we talk about it, we sing about it, but where I'm at is where I'm encouraging you to see, and it's a process. I still see it in me. Like the Apostle Paul, every time I read Philippians 3, I'm there, man. In reference to this great grace, righteousness by faith, which he is the one who coins that term. It's in the Greek, Philippians 3. He says, this righteousness which now is by faith, I consider all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the righteousness which is found in Christ Jesus. And then he says something that helps me out a little bit, Emily. I don't quite have a hold of it yet. I still see things in me that want to revert to the system because I find security there because my humanness and my flesh wants bars, wants thick walls, wants to protect me. And yet Jesus says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I talked about this a while back, but it's appropriate right here. Life can deal some blows. And if we don't get a hold of the life and the freedom that is found in the Spirit, what we will begin to do as we age is we begin to say, I won't be hurt there again. And a filter goes up. I won't be hurt here again. And another filter goes up. Wow, I don't know how that got through that filter. Let's replace the filter with block. Now it won't get through. Pretty soon we're inside a castle with no walls or doors. I mean, no doors or windows. A prison of our own making because we did not trust God's system. How many are glad today, even if you don't feel like it or don't totally understand it yet, can rejoice if it's not happening for you, it's still a truth for you. It's happening in the unseen realm. How many are glad he whom the Son has set free? Come on, are you here today? He whom the Son has set free? Come on, it's a process. Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, I don't quite have a hold of it. But it has a hold of me. You got a habit, a struggle, that just has you by the ear. How many of you remember in the old days when parents weren't so politically correct? I've been led from the front of a church clear back out to the foyer in a big church by my ear. How many remember that one? Had my big 6'2" daddy reach clear out over two rows, buddy, and take a knuckle across the back of my head in church because I was talking. Didn't take very many times of that to shut up in church. And I learned at a young age, you don't get up and run to the potty every 3 minutes either. I wish there were a few adults that would learn that. Our attention span has shortened with the commercials on our TVs. But let me tell you something. For those who dwell in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And it takes some discipline and obedience in grace to grow to a completely different level. And it's all born out of not constraint, but trust. Can everybody in here say, trust? A wise husband who loves according to Scripture will build the most precious thing that can ever be trust. It has an effect on the psyche, the emotion, even the physicality. I'll be careful. Everything in a marriage relationship, when there is trust found and sown in a woman. Love. God loved us. Gave his best for us. The more you can see that, we who are the, get ready, here it is, the analogy, the bride. Trust him. And open more and more to what it is that he wants to pour out. What I just said, I hope didn't go right over your head. Because that right there is a picture of what Romans 5:17 really says. Death reigned by one. But now for those, the bride, who have learned to trust, who are open and receiving, are seeing that Jesus is not who we thought. These will reign. R-E-I-G-N. A kingly authority will reign in life. How? By the receiving. Can everybody lift your hands up this morning and say, I'm a good receiver because I trust Him. And where I don't, come on, out loud with me. And where I don't, listen, that's human. It's okay to confess that. And where I don't trust Him, I'm reaching to trust Him more. Show me, teach me, because I know my success in You, in my calling, in my life, in my marriage, in my direction, in my business comes from trusting. Woo! I'm very glad for Jesus. And out of trust is born obedience. Jesus did not say, I don't know if we'll have time to get there now today. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Here's how the legalistic new covenant believer, but who is living his life out still under old covenant rules, hears that. He hears, do you remember this from 2 weeks ago? He hears a threat. A threat from Jesus. His face is darkened. His countenance is clouded. He's an angry parent saying, if you love me, if I'm going to cast a shadow on our relationship with a threat, if you love me, then you will obey. That's completely out of context of everything that he was about, of the scriptures that we're getting ready to read in Romans 8 if we ever get there. It's a promise. It's one that's repeated by the Apostle John. It's a promise. If you love me, here's the result. This will be a flow in your life. Because if you love me, that means you've learned to trust me. I know I've said this many, many times, so this isn't for you if you've heard it many times. It's for the handful that are here that haven't been here many times. John is referred to by theologians as the apostle of love. He's distinct among the rest. Not in that he was loved more, for he wasn't. How many of God loves us all? He loved all the 12. He loved Judas. He loved them. Unfathomably, eternally, equally. I'm very glad for the love of God this morning. But John pressed in. The picture of him. Those things aren't put in there just for the story's sake. They all have major supernatural import. John is the one who leans in close. Scripture says, lays his head upon his chest. That's either weird to you, because you're so carnal, you miss. I know I'm hitting a little hard this morning, but listen, it's time that we hear what's being said. Either we're just carnal, or we're seeing that God wants us to see a type of intimacy. One of those guys so trusted him, he imposed heavily on his personal space, for starters. John trusted him. Jesus is telling them in John 14, some things are going to happen, guys, that are going to want to blow your mind. Don't be troubled. I've prayed for you, but there's some stuff coming down the road. It's not going to be pretty. All of them heard him. But John heard him. You know how I know that? The rest ran scared. John appears in the middle of the melee of a bloody, nasty, awful crucifixion scene. standing there in utter childlike trust. It blows my mind. Scripture says he was standing there, and Jesus addresses him from the cross and says, John, will you take care of Mama? Trust. Born of love. And a childlike obedience that said, well, then if what he said is true, then apparently I'm good here. History, and I'm sorry if I'm redundant, I think I mentioned this the last two services, but let's lay it out there again. History bears out he's the only one they couldn't kill. They tried. The rest of them were martyred. He is the one who stands alone, who lived out his old age, wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in our canon of 66, a revelation of who Jesus is. I'm here to tell you today, if you'll get off the crutch of the law and step over into the life of the Spirit, trust that what he has said is true. And know that he's working with you when you fail. He does not leave you. Hebrews 13:5, religion has said you blow it, God has to leave. While you get your act together. Hebrews 13:5 says God's not embarrassed by you or anything you can produce. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So that we can boldly say, the Lord, let's say it out loud together all over the room, the Lord is my persecutor. Come on, let's say it all together. The Lord is my critic. Out of the mouth of babes. Let's say it together. The Lord is my helper! Come on, are you here today? A marriage filled with rules doesn't work well. A new covenant believer's life in Jesus under the new covenant from the basis of rules does not work well. For this now is a relationship. His desire was to buy us back, redeem us to intimacy with him. I'm very glad for Jesus today. We doing all right? How many ready to leave out of here today and say, Lord, I love you more than ever before? I've put everything else before you and things have kind of gone haywire. One of the dangers of grace. We're just so free. We don't have to do anything. There's no danger in grace, by the way. I'm saying grace in quotations because it's a distortion of. Grace is the gospel. Trust it. But a distortion. I'm so free, I don't have to do anything. No, you don't have to, but that's kind of a missing the whole point. There's so much we get to do. Because you're in grace, a soft answer turns away wrath, really comes into a beautiful flow. Now, in relationship, lacks the edge of the law, is pregnant now with life-giving flow that heals relationships. Did you hear what I just said? A heart enveloped in a relationship with Jesus by His Spirit because of grace does not withhold. I find it interesting, not just our church, but many churches of grace, they deal with it. If they like where the flow is, there's giving in the offering. If they don't like where the flow is, they will let you know. That's not grace. And while I'm on the point, if this is your church home, this is where I never went, but it's in the book of Galatians. It's the last chapter that we spent months on. It says, if you trust the process and you're in grace, It's also repeated in 2 Corinthians 9 that every man should give as he purposes in his heart. Every man. I think that grace people ought to be thinking every week, my worship is not complete until I have given. I'm not talking about just our, but don't get uncomfortable. We don't beat on money here. We don't even take up an offering, so relax. Do I ever touch on this? But right now, I'm going to touch on it. Part of grace is, my life is His. It belongs to Him. I don't do less because I'm free. I do more. I'm so glad for those of you that believe that. And without ever being prompted, those of you that are visitors, please forgive us. We don't ever talk about money here. As you notice, we don't even pass a plate. We got a box in the back. It's rarely mentioned. But today, it's a really right to the bone tight along this message, being led of the Spirit and being led in this flow of worship. Jesus said to the woman at the well, in days of old, your fathers worshipped in that mountain. But the time is coming when they who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. This is a new and living way in Jesus. And our life, the more He is unveiled, there should be more of an outflow in every way. If you're here and you're a regular part of this church and you're not contributing, consider the grace of God that has been manifested in you. Get involved and be involved. Don't let a dozen people carry the load. Let's share the load in generosity so that we can be a blessing, not just to here, but to our community. I've found that those that complain the most give the least. Can you say ouch? Or praise the Lord? Say with me, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I don't give Him what's left over. I give Him the first fruits because I love Him and I trust Him. And you say, amen or oh me?
Amen.
Rules. I'm so glad there isn't a rule of the tithe that is wielded. That's why I never mention it. I pastored that way for years before. I ministered that way. We had three services. We had a worship service, we had a giving service, and then we had the main service. And we beat on the sheet in the middle one. How many know what I'm talking about? We had beautiful music, we had buckets being passed, and we were reminded incessantly, you better give or else. I'm so glad that's been removed. We must trust God. God's will, or it's God's will, God's bill. But how many know there is a place of relationship where as we grow up, we realize if this is where I'm called, if this is where I belong, we're doing all right? Let's move on to something else, being you look so uncomfortable. Loving one another. We don't need a seminar with 10 points of how to do ministry for you to lift somebody's load. They're good. But I think the church has come to lean on all that way too much. Nobody will budge until you hold my hand. I'm glad that's not going on here. We got a lot of beautiful people doing a lot of beautiful stuff. But how many know we could do more? Wow, don't shout me down. How many know we could do more? The less we lean on law, the more we listen to the Spirit, the more there is a flow. How many know we can trust God's provision in every way? Spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in every way. How many know that God's provision is not a pie with only so many pieces, but it is a river. And those who realize he no longer wants to love me via the mechanism of the law, but he wants me to enter in to a new and living way by his Spirit and trust him, begin to wade deep into a river of provision. At times it's a little scary. I'll never forget, we didn't have any money for rent anyway. My wife and I, newly married at Rhema Housing, didn't have any money for bills anyhow. I owed $120 for whatever it was, utility bill. I didn't have anything for rent. I had 80 bucks. The Lord spoke to me about a missionary that was visiting, and I gave it. You know the rest of the story. I'm still here. He is. Come on, would you lift up your hand all over the building? He is our provision. We can trust that God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm not talking about just money, but a heart of generosity. Proverbs 11 says he makes the generous heart fat. Some of you went, oh, no. No, I'm not talking about that kind of fat. That is a picture of prosperity. How many are glad today for Jesus? How many know that when we trust him, he blesses back? Amen. Wow. I don't know, but I preach myself happy. I don't know about you. We doing okay? We were going to go to Romans 8. Probably are not going to make it there today. I've referenced several times this verse, and I want us to look at it together. Hebrews chapter 10. You doing okay? You glad you came to church today? All right. Believe God with your body. I'm talking about the body of Christ, our church. Let's believe God together for great things and be sensitive to what the Spirit of God. Don't let grace make you a floater. But a contributor to the process. Can you say amen? That's all right. You know what my dad used to say? There's one thing, and this one isn't even crying. He said, there's one thing worse than crying babies in a church. And she's not even crying. That's beautiful. He. Is it he? Oh, well, then that's different. He said, there's one thing worse than crying babies in a church. He said, that's no crying babies. So it doesn't ruffle my feathers at all. Amen. I love it. But you guys have figured out what causes that, right? What is this, five? Chris is never going to come back here again. He's over. We got... I love big families. Hallelujah. Chris, look at me, man. Be encouraged. The Bible says that that is a sign of prosperity. That's Bible. It's no wonder that the world wants to take that away and make that abnormal. Uh-uh. That's a norm in God. It's proof of his prosperity. How many are glad for that today? Hallelujah. Boy, I'm all over the place. If nothing else, you came to enjoy the entertainment. Let's look at Hebrews 10 before I get myself in more trouble. Hebrews 10. If I was going to try to bring a point to everything I've been talking about for months, it's this. There is a flow. Come on, are you here this morning? There is a flow we haven't yet tapped into. Things are not all going to hell in a handbasket. Get your eyes off of politics. Get your eyes off of just the economy. A wise man will observe it and be led of the Spirit. But we're not blind. It's not following the Spirit. Stick your head in the sand like an ostrich. But we're not led by those things, nor do we let those things dictate our direction. For those who receive, come on, lift your hands one more time this morning. Those who receive the abundance of grace. And we're finding out right now there's a whole different level to this grace. This isn't just about I'm loved and I'm good. There's way more. That's kindergarten level. Oh, man. There is power in being led by a new law called the Spirit of God within. But it comes with, are you here, Bob Reed? Response dash ability. Did you catch that? Response ability. God-given ability to respond to what He has said. Trust, which gives place to obedience, where the riches of God are found. Do you know one of the first places you can begin to obey God is with your mouth? Abraham believed the promise of God. Therefore, he considered not the deadness of his body, but openly, outwardly, glorified God like a fool at his age. Far past reproductive processes, he was trusting God with his actions that followed his voice. What God said is true. I got a kick out of Joe Biden. He has been chastised all week. He's a man of many gaffes. We know that. Some of that's mean. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But he actually said something that everybody was laughing at. But you know what? The funny part about it, and I'm not a pro-Joe guy. If you know me, you know that. God help us. But I'm going to defend on Sunday morning at 11:35. I'm going to defend Joe Biden. What he said this week was true. He said, "I believe the truth is greater than facts." Slow down, back up. That's actually true. If it's in the context of God's word and a godly relationship. I'm very glad that the truth is greater. Boy, did I lose you that easily? I bet you nobody else in the Quad City area is getting a sermon like this morning. You're privileged. Hebrews 10. Verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. For how long? Well, I don't agree with people that say if you're saved, you can lose your salvation. I believe if you are truly born again, you cannot jump up to the right hand of the Father like a bicycle seat and jump back down and jump back up and jump back down and jump back up and jump back down. If you're truly born again, my Bible and your Bible says he has perfected forever. I realize that's dangerous. I hate as bad as many of you the concept of once saved, always saved, because it gives a cavalier, frivolous attitude towards God. I can just get saved and do whatever I want. But in the attempt to fix that, we've gone to the other ditch. My Bible says if we have entered into relationship with Jesus Christ by faith, that God did a supernatural work on the inside of me, and now He's given His Spirit to help the outside of me catch up. Religion says if the outside doesn't catch up immediately, He must not have done something on the inside. Therefore, you may have been saved, but you lost it, so you need to get saved again. So we jump up back and forth on the right hand. Stay. No. His life in you is your life. It's not you trying to stay alive. Aren't you glad when you put your faith in Jesus, it was enough? It says here, He has perfected them forever. Deal with this, not with me. I love it. that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with him after those days. He's speaking of our day, says the Lord. Quick note, we're in the New Testament reading the book of Hebrews. He's telling us now of a fulfilled promise. I will put my laws in their hearts. And in their minds will I write them. And their sins, because of this, I can trust God. I can trust the Holy Spirit that I will give in them. It's my plan. Because of this, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Say, what? That's dangerous. Yes, you're right. Beautifully so. And now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That isn't talking about something you do every once in a while. That's talking about what you did when you put your faith in Jesus and stepped in to a whole new realm. I'm so glad that he sees me different than I see myself. What are you saying, Brother Lee, that you're in the holiest all the time? No, I'm saying we who have confessed, you better be, because your Bible says that supernaturally by the Spirit of God, imperfect you and me were placed in him and he was placed in us. That's a miracle or it's insanity. There's no in between. How many can kick your hands up this morning and thank God for his love and for his grace? Say it out loud. There is hope for me. I'm so glad he doesn't judge me for my failure. Are you here today? We got people in here that struggle, bound by alcohol for years. You know what got through? It wasn't religion and rules and formulas, and it didn't happen overnight. You always got somebody say, well, when I got saved, the Lord took her. Well, good for you. That's awesome. I love that testimony. But most people don't. I remember Chad Nanke coming to me and saying, Pastor Lee, I love God. I see what he's doing, but I can't quit smoking. What do I do? I said, trust God. Go get a patch. There's no condemnation. That has nothing to do with who you are. It has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. Confess who you are in Christ. Speak the word of God over yourself and get a little help. Ask him if he's glad he's free. Somebody else still struggling? They're not one bit less of a beautiful Christian who loves God. They have a struggle that is just a little more apparent than yours that you hide. So ease your judgment. Lift one another. Love each other. There are those in here this morning. It wasn't formulas and rules, and it was because of people around them who said, we don't care how many times you blow it. We're going to keep loving you like Christ loves you. We believe eventually the non-eventual, the already truth, will override fact. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I just got a, what do you call it? No, when runners get a... second wind. Are you ready to go for another hour? I'm glad for Jesus. Am I buying lunch? Well, that's why I was asking to believe God with us. Okay, so here we go. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. No more cowering. Childlike. It's John. Right in the middle of the crucifixion scene. Blood everywhere. Seeming as though everything was lost. Apparently, that dude never doubted. He never walked on water like Peter, but there was this steady eddy. I know. I've found out there's a level of his love for me that I'm just either dumb enough or trust him enough to be right here in the middle of everything. Boldness born of love. Oh, man, that's a worship moment right there. Come on, let's worship together. Come on, more boldness. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Get ready, people. By a new... Come on, if you're still doing the old and it's not working, it's because you haven't discovered the new. By a new... And here's how it's identified right out of the chute, Darlene, living. Alive. I don't know why, but immediately I can hear little Grace. It smells like the joy of the Lord. How many are glad to be alive in Jesus? I got to find somewhere to stop, so it may as well be here by a new living way, and then we'll look at Romans 8 next week and eventually get to obedience. Are you growing in God? Growing in Jesus? Glad you came to church today? Right where you're sitting. Please, no moving around, just for a few moments so we're not distracting worship team, of course. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, not out of a religious thing or me trying to, this is for a respect for those who will respond. Remember when you first respond, how uncomfortable that was, and yet the inside of you was just like you wanted to respond. So out of respect for them, can we have every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, just for a few minutes. Jesus loves you today. Religion may have been mean, but that wasn't him. Today you've heard about the Master. How he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He didn't design your struggle. He's not even using your struggle to try to get something across to you. The struggle is from the enemy. James chapter 1 says, "Let no man say when he is tested that he is tested by God, for God tests no man with evil. Neither is he tested with evil." He goes on to say that every good and perfect gift, same book, same chapter, James 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Let me say it this way. You can take his love and all of his promises to the bank. How he loves you. And if you're here today and you've never made a profession of faith, when you do that, it opens up the door of your heart to let him begin to flood in and help you and strengthen you. You become not just somebody who believes, but you become a son of God. Here's how that works. If we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, we will be saved. It's that simple. Religion has said, if you will stop this, if you will do this, if you will adjust this, if you'll arrange this, and then check with God and say, God, is this enough? That's not how that works. All you got to do is put your faith in him. Let him come in and do work on the inside. Can you imagine how silly it would be if I invited you to go fishing with me and I told you, though, that I was going to go to a lake where the fish were already gutted and cleaned? You'd think I was nuts. You'd think I was absolutely nuts. And yet religion says, if we'll get cleaned up and readied, then God can accept us. He takes us just like we are. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He loves us. He already paid for everything. He already has expressed his love for you. All he's looking for you is to say, hey, I'll take it. One more time for those that are here, because we may have a young teenager here that's been around this all his life, but he personally has never said, I want him in my heart and in my life. So one more time, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I will not call you up here. I will not point you out. I will not embarrass you. It is not necessary. God does a work in your heart. You'll let everybody know soon enough. So enough of that religious nonsense. You're in here this morning. I want to pray with you as a congregation. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up high where I can see you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else this morning? I need Jesus in my life. I need him to help me. And today, thank you. Thank you very much. That is awesome. Anyone else? Give you just a few more minutes. So that's me, Pastor. I know I need God in my life. Well, it's not about having a general God. It's about coming into a personal relationship because you can trust his love for you. Beautiful. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've flipped your hands back down already if you haven't. Hallelujah. How beautiful. Father, I thank you for these that have raised their hands. And I know of one individual that wanted to so bad that on their inside, they had both hands and both feet in the air as high as they could get it. They just couldn't physically get there. You love them just as much as those that raise their hand. And right now as we pray, I thank you that there is going to be an invasion of love that will change their heart and lives forever. Can you agree with that, people of God, in Jesus' name? Father, I thank you for your grace and your strength on each of these this morning. Never the same because of what you're getting ready to do through a simple profession of faith. I'd like for those of you who raised your hand, I'd like for everybody to look up right now, open your eyes. I'd like for all of us to pray this prayer together with them. Those of you who raised your hand with boldness and confidence, I want you to say these words with me. Say it to the Lord. And here's what Scripture says. When we pray this prayer, when we confess with our mouth out of a heart of belief that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead, Romans 10, 9 and 10 declare that when we do this, we are saved. We come into sonship, relationship with God. Isn't that beautiful? Are we ready to do that? Help those around us that raise their hand. Right now, let's together pray together, shall we? Say this prayer with me. Repeat out loud with everything in you. Believers all over the house. Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you gave your own life freely on the cross for me. You bore my sin. You carried my sorrow. By your stripes, I was healed. Today I believe you are the Son of God, that you not only died for me, but you were raised from the dead, securing my salvation. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I receive forgiveness, your life in my life. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray, thank you for saving me now. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Can you rejoice? Hallelujah. Now listen.